My guest this week is an author, beer industry storyteller, and now podcaster with a new podcast recently released. She works with craft beverage companies, both small and large, across the country through her Durango-based company, Radcraft. Beyond the Headlines is brought to you by Sky Ute Casino. If you're ready to elevate your gaming experience, look no further than Sky Ute Casino Resort, where the thrill of the game meets the beauty of the Colorado landscape. Immerse yourself in luxury. Indulge in exquisite dining at their diverse restaurants. From casual to classic cuisine, Sky Ute Casino has every culinary experience covered. Whether you're a gaming enthusiast, a foodie, or just looking for a good time, Sky Ute Casino Resort has it all. So what are you waiting for? Plan your next getaway and experience the excitement at Sky Ute Casino Resort. Visit skyutecasino.com for more information. Now let's get to my guest, Emily Hutto, whose company Radcraft has been the conduit through which she shares the stories of brewers, distillers, maltsters, and more. I met her at the Radcraft office in downtown Durango.
Radcraft is the company that I founded in 2012, and it started as an outcrop of beer writing and beer journalism that I was doing, and it has become a communication vessel for brewers and distillers, and even more specifically, the ingredients that go into beers and spirits.
What was the genesis for that? Because I ask, you know, I find entrepreneurs kind of march to their own beat, so to speak, right? So what was it for you that attracted you to running your own company?
I definitely was marching to my own beat in college when I was homebrewing. And then immediately out of college, after getting my journalism degree, I was writing about beer, really for a living. I was freelancing for any publication that would have me to explore my interests in fermentation and in the ingredients that were going into beer. So my career started as a beer journalist. I wrote a book about Colorado beer. And the story there is long, but basically I went to college in Oregon. I ended up home in Colorado, my home state, and wrote a book about the beer scene in Colorado and how it had come to be. That book was published the same year that I founded Radcraft, because Radcraft was becoming this vessel for my journalism and for selling the book. And occasionally brewers were asking if I could help them with their marketing program, be it social media or content marketing, writing newsletters, helping them earn mentions in the media, PR, things like that. And when Radcraft first got started, I was just using it as this vessel to filter some freelance from this interest that I was getting from craft brewers. It wasn't until about halfway through the company's life, right now it's 11, and about halfway through I decided to go all in on this little business of mine and turn it into something that actually had an elevator pitch to it and had a mission out in the beverage space.
What's the name of the book?
Colorado's Top Brewers.
So was that the process that kind of educated you on the beer scene in the Four Corners, or were you already familiar with what was going down on down here beer-wise?
Good question. It was SCA that educated me about the beer scene in the Four Corners. When I approached the challenge of writing a book about the best or most influential breweries in Colorado, a lot of folks said, you can't write a book about Colorado beer without going down to Durango and visiting SCA. So that was actually the first time I visited Durango as a born and bred Coloradoan who had spent her life on the Front Range. It wasn't until my 20s working on this book that I came down to visit Durango. And I just really, I just really fell in love with the scene. I love the proximity of Durango to the Four Corners states, and so I've been exploring the scenes in New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah ever since. And it was really SCA Brewing back in the day that showed me the goodness that is Durango and kind of lured me into moving here myself.
It's such an interesting beer community in that it's kind of an outlier, right? The industry is transient. And yet you come to Durango and it's like all the head brewers here have been here for like 29 years. It's like the complete opposite of the industry.
Well put. I've always said that Durango moves a little slower. It helps you go back in time sometimes. And I definitely feel that in the beer community here. It's also a strong interwoven beer community. There are a lot of places that have tons of breweries, but they don't necessarily collaborate or really hang out with one another. That's not the case in Durango or even the Four Corners. Brewers down here, up here, wherever you're coming from, hang out with one another. They share recipes. They enjoy collaborating with one another, and they do a lot of events together down here too. So I think that influence of all the breweries working together in more of their infancy, in particular through an organization called the Bootleggers Society, is something that has kept the beer scene down here really tight knit and more interconnected than you see in big cities. I'll also add the rural component to the beer scene down here. You have to work harder and travel longer to get great beer, and so there's a connectivity to the people who make it. Like, we're all in the same club. I don't make it beyond poorly in my garage sometimes, but we're all in this club of making and being part of the beer scene.
I spoke to one of the brewery owners within the last year, and I asked what, you know, because it's daunting to start your own business, to start your own brewery. I said, what's the hardest era running this brewery has been for you? And they said, actually, right now. What do you make of the state or the health of the craft beer industry right now?
In Colorado, in general?
Let's just say in general.
Okay. Well, in general, the craft beer industry in the United States, I'll say that, is 35 to 45 years old, depending on the first brewery, if you want to call it. So if you consider that lifespan and the many waves of the industry that craft beer has gone through, there have been a lot of rising tides. And we're experiencing, for one of the first real times, one of those valley periods versus the peaks, which we've ridden for a lot of different waves and phases. Those valleys to us are revealing those who maybe haven't put a lot of emphasis on their quality in their QA/QC department, or maybe who haven't put a lot of emphasis on marketing, or you name the department of the company. Those holes are being revealed now because people have tighter budgets than ever before. They're recovering from 2020 and the massive shutdown that the industry experienced. And I think there is a combination of catching up to do or feeling behind from that, and also feeling scarred and a little bit scared to move forward with riskier decisions in business that maybe would have been more well received in the past before the world shut down.
And many of these companies are your clients. So how are you navigating the state of the industry right now?
Well, it's a good segue. I feel like one of the ways I've navigated the change in the industry has been through Radcraft Industry Relief. Not intentionally. I didn't even really start it intentionally. April 2020 happens and the world is shut down. And a lot of our clients in our network were asking me, are you going to do a Zoom chat? Should you gather everyone in a virtual happy hour space? And really, without anything else to do, I said yes. And a little bit grudgingly, I hadn't done any kind of major video communication or video messaging for my business. It was 8 years old at that point. And to sign up for my first ever Zoom account in 2020 was a big deal for me. But it ended up being this really great way to hold space and have conversations about what the industry was facing, and conversations with folks from across the different regions of the United States, which lent a breadth of perspectives that we wouldn't have had otherwise. So we recorded these conversations for a year and a half and just dug deep in so many different ways on sales and marketing, on HR, on mental health. It's called Radcraft Industry Relief because we wanted to provide some relief and some space for people to discuss and converse, and also to laugh. We had a stand-up comedian come on one time, and we had a live music performance from the gentleman who actually ended up performing our podcast theme song years later. So all that to say, the Industry Relief chats really helped me stay connected with the industry from afar and know what was going on in real time throughout these last few years. In order to make the podcast, I interviewed a lot of the folks who showed up as regulars on those Radcraft Industry Relief calls, and it's been the reconnection with them and asking, what are you doing 3 years later, that has also helped me stay abreast of what's going on in the community.
My guest is Emily Hutto. We'll talk about her new project after this.
Are you a typical small business owner trying to navigate today's myriad advertising channels? Google, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, newspaper, TV, radio, etc.? Asking yourself questions like, Which advertising channel will help me reach local customers the best? How much should a business my size spend? How do I even get started? With 1.8 billion websites online, 60 million Facebook active business pages, and over $240 billion being spent each year in the U.S. on advertising, it's getting harder for a business to get noticed. Local News Network can help. Not only are we reporting local news stories on important and inspiring topics, but we are also helping local businesses like you reach local customers who can come and purchase from you today. We take your marketing message and broadcast it across our online and mobile platforms to thousands of local viewers, then amplify it on a network of digital displays placed in high-traffic locations across town. This guarantees that your advertisement will be seen daily by locals, during business hours, within proximity of your business. That's our secret sauce.
I get a chuckle. I think I'm an outlier because I got through the entire pandemic without ever having to do a video, Zoom or Google Chat or whatever.
Jealous.
Now, it wasn't until after the pandemic that you turned this into a podcast. What really kind of got the gears turning in your head that you wanted to make this a podcast? Was that something that was in the back of your head when you first did the Zoom chat? Or was it not until after that you wanted to kind of compile it all together?
It was through the suggestion of people on the call that we make it a podcast, and we were already recording it, so why not? And I think I was personally the bottleneck for the whole situation because, for one, making a podcast is a huge undertaking that takes more resources than I, never having made one before, knew. And I also wanted to do it justice and really have conversations that spoke to the industry at large instead of maybe just the micro issues that we were facing in our communities. Or to say that a different way, I wanted to tell a story about what was going on in the industry at large and what it meant and why that was important, instead of to just ask people, well, how's your life a little different 3 years later? So to kind of dig into the depths of the content of the story that I wanted to tell, it took a lot of time and energy to stay connected with people and have hard and real conversations. It was always the plan, though, to make it into a podcast, and it wasn't until a few years later, having some real time and energy and equipment put into it, that I was able to make it happen.
What did you find the process of kind of distilling it all down to be like? How did you do that?
Whew. Through a lot of help and long hours. I never want to hear the sound of my own voice again. I'm so sick of hearing the same quotes over and over and over. But that's what we had to do. When I say we had an awesome team of an editor, a sound engineer, a content manager, and myself, the producer and host, if you will. And the four of us just dug deeply into listening back into the conversations, into recording new conversations with the folks who we feature in each episode. And then we even did some extra recording, just debriefing on what it all meant in order to put it all together. And once we had the general structure of the stories that we wanted to tell and the flashbacks that we wanted to visit from previous conversations, then I wove it together with a longer, maybe drawn out script that really weaves the story and tells the whole thing. I say drawn out, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes if you listen to the whole thing, all six episodes.
And it's been out for how long now?
It's been out for 3 months.
What's the feedback been like?
So good. Surprisingly good. We are hearing from colleagues and friends that it's interesting and that I've held their attention, which is great news. And then I'm even hearing from some folks in the industry who I haven't met prior to hearing about their feedback on the podcast. It's mostly beer industry folks who are listening so far.
That's got to be the best pat on the back, right? Because you're pretty connected inside this industry. So for someone you don't know to reach out has to like warm the cockles, right?
Thank you. I feel some days really connected and other days I'm on my island. But to be at a conference, which I was just a couple of months ago, and to have a person come up and introduce themselves and say, hey, great podcast, I hope you keep telling that story, was just surprising and delighting.
So will you keep telling the story? Like, what's next now that that project's complete?
Project complete are those key words. I love the Radcraft Industry Relief story, but it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. This six-part series really, I think, does it justice, and it has a lovely completion that I hope you listen through too. And going forward, as much as I would love to tackle issues in the industry and continue talking with key figureheads in the industry, I think we have a lot of interview-based beer podcasts out there already. Some of them that I really like are the Beer in Front podcast and the Good Beer Hunting Sightlines show. And so if I am to offer something new to the beer community, I want to find a unique angle. And let's be real here. If it's me, I'll probably be talking about ingredients in some way. So I'd love to make a podcast about malt, about hops, about the agriculture that goes into beer, though to say that it's any more planned beyond just speculating right now would be a lie. This process has also really told me that I can make podcasts for others. I consider myself to be a professional storyteller, and so to now have the equipment, the personnel, the bandwidth built into the Radcraft structure to be able to offer podcast services, even so far as to make a custom song for your podcast as part of our repertoire or our offering of services is exciting to me, because helping others tell stories about what they're really passionate about turns out to kind of be my thing.
It is, I found, it's a hassle, it's difficult, but then when you've done it, you look back on what you've done and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially when there's storytelling involved. I could jump on an interview every week and chat it up with someone, and I love podcasts like that. But there's something to me about taking bits and pieces from different storylines and weaving them together into one. Call it my journalism background, but I love that process.
Where can we check it out?
You can go to radcraftbeer.com/industryrelief to learn more about the podcast and get access to all six episodes.
Emily Hutto, cheers. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Connor. Cheers back.
You know that sound. It's the bells of victory, the thrill of the win. It's the sound of your jackpot hitting. And it's happening every day at Sky Ute Casino Resort. With the best odds in Colorado and some of our biggest promos of the year running right now, Sky Ute is Southern Colorado's winning destination. Get in on the action. Get in on the fortune. Only at Sky Ute Casino Resort. Visit skyutecasino.com for the latest promotions.
Thanks to Sky Ute Casino Resort for supporting the podcast, along with Emily Hutto and Radcraft. Music written by Alexander Nakarada. I'm Connor Shreve, and I hope you'll join us next time on Beyond the Headlines, 2 weeks from now.